Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. Mr. George Butts is joining us again as we're going to go more on the IMSA side of things today as we get ready for the Rolex. This episode, I just told Frenchie when I was going to release it on Monday. So, you know, it is officially Rolex week and the Roar has just finished, although we were recording early, so I don't know what happened in the Roar. So if something major happened, you know, it is what it is with the story of the show. So how's everybody this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. I guess I talked to you a little bit earlier today, but not much has changed. We're a week early recording this episode, which feels really off character or out of character for PLP. Like, we don't tend to do anything that far in advance.
George?
Yeah, howdy guys. Doing well. Excited to, you know, formally kick off the season. You know, in my opinion, it's Chili Bowl then the Roar that really kicks off the racing year. So, getting into you know, the major here in terms of major series with IMSA and one of the big enduros. So happy to get going in the year. And my Buccaneers are playing tonight. Depending on when you guys listen to this and releasing next week, who knows what will happen. But, you know, fingers crossed my boys pull one off tonight.
You know, usually I'd say, like, Tom Brady sucks and I don't want him to win. But in this case, they're playing the Cowboys. So I can survive a win this week. And I don't really care either way, but I'd much rather the Bucks win than the Cowboys win. So anyway, yeah, recording a week early. Frenchie and I have about six different episodes to get through this week and another one to get through next Monday so that we can actually travel and do even more recording on the road. So busy times, which is cool, but we're going to talk a little IMSA stuff this week. I don't really know where I want to start other than kind of looking at kind of what we expect the Rolex, how we expect the Rolex to play out. And I'm kind of stealing this initial question from off track when Hinch and Rossi talked about it last week, and I didn't finish the episode, so I don't know if they kept talking about it, but theoretically there's a chance with these new GTP cars that, you know, all nine could have major issues and maybe an LMP2 car could win. So in our official predictions, will a non-GTP car win the 2023 Rolex 24 hours Rolex? I'm butchering the name right now because I'm having a brain fart, but just
the
somebody
Rolex
answer the damn question.
Of Rolex.
Yeah. Shut up. That's going to be the episode title.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's a shame they're not sponsored by Tudor watches either. You know, 24 hours of Rolex of Tudor watches.
That would
True.
Be fun.
That'd be a good, yeah. Like nested within itself.
I mean, I'll take this. No, I don't think a P2 is going to win. That being said, there is historical precedence. The first year of the DP, Daytona prototype formula, I'm pretty sure either a Viper or a Porsche won overall. Don't remember which make, but it's happened before on more than one occasion that the top class hasn't won. That being said, it depends on what issues arise and how late or early in the race they arise. But the BOP this year did a very dirty swing to the P2s, to the point where certain P2 drivers are worried about their performance in particularly braking zones and acceleration zones with some of the GTs. But if, let's say, every single one of the GTPs has an issue, one of those has, let's just say they have to swap out their battery. I think Marshall Pruitt said it's going to take 30 minutes. If that happens early enough and they get wave arounds, they're going to be so much quicker than the P2s that I don't see that happening. That being said, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and that's, sorry, French, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I kind of feel the same way, but you know, it's the Rolex and weird things happen at weird times. But Frenchie, what's your thoughts?
I'm just going to bet on an LMP3 car winning.
Wow. Are you going on record as that? You can. We can call this the chaos prediction.
No, I think that would be pretty absurd. I'm looking out the entry list right now, and if I was to pick one of the LMP3s, I don't even know if I could decide which one it would be. So, nah, I'm gonna say that I'm probably with George on this one. At least one of these nine GTP cars will make it to the end of the race.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that nine cars will either not finish the race or be so many laps down that it doesn't matter. Some sort of major issue where they're, 60 or 70 laps down or something like that. But yeah, I think I agree with you. But George, is there anything specific about next weekend or this weekend's race or all of the entries that I guess at this point are pretty much confirmed that everybody should know?
Well, you do have a number of at this point, again, we're a couple days out from the roar. There's a handful of TBD still on the entry list that haven't been confirmed either by teams or by one of the news organizations, as it were. I think the biggest latest news is Turner is moving one of their GTD BMW's entry up to GTD Pro for the Enduros. That car is going to be stacked. It's got the GOAT, Bill Oberlin, in there, Chandler Hall, who's pretty daggum quick, John Edwards, and Bruno Spengler. A lot of familiar names if you follow GT and GT3 racing, especially if you're BMW fans. But them moving to GTD Pro bumps that category up to nine entries with eight manufacturers. So I think you have a good chance of really great racing. The GT category is great right now. GTD and GTD Pro, again, it's the GT3 based formula. But with those nine entries, none of them are teammates. So you're not going to see team orders. You're not going to see one car, being a bit of a rabbit, and one car being the tortoise, as it were. Which you might see here and there in GTP with the top tier prototypes. If you ever worry about your car breaking down, all right, send one team car out fast to maybe get the other competitors to break their cars too, and kind of limp one around for a while. But you're not going to see that. And an established formula with the GT3 based formula, as it were, and no teammates. So that's what I'm really looking forward to in terms of recent news and recent updates. That being said, I guarantee you tomorrow morning, there's probably going to be like three huge pieces of news that drop before you guys travel down. So if we
Naturally.
miss anything, I guess blame me for not having a good crystal ball. But yeah, that's the most recent thing I'm excited about that has changed on the entry list over the past couple of days.
All right. I like it. Let's see here. So I think it's too early to look at the weather forecast. Not that I've already started that like 3 days ago, but I don't think it's going to be as cold as last year where it was, 22 degrees at night. So this is another George question for everybody who's going to the Rolex and plans to be there overnight. You should probably pack three or four different types of clothing to wear, depending on how warm or cold it is. So be prepared. That's my little footnote that I just had pop up on my computer to remind everybody. But I'll turn it over to Frenchie for the next question or prediction or wherever you want to take this, you can take it.
Well, I don't know how you wanted to do it, if you wanted to go through the categories and kind of, I mean,
I have
we're a
no.
little bit far out, like we said, but
Yeah, whatever
you
you
want to go
want.
through the categories and do that?
However you want to do it, we can do it.
What's your vote, George? What do you want to do? Go down each category and maybe we each make a pick?
I think that's probably the best decision. And just to comment on Mike's point, I'm down here in the Tampa area and it's been below freezing the past 2 days, so.
Aww.
Layers, because humid cold is a special kind of cold. Just pack layers. And there's a Bass Pro Shop across from the track.
That is a good tip. I did not know that. We can like deck out in camo.
Yes, we could. We could get camo gloves and sweatshirts and all this stuff because our newly printed podcast sweatshirts are not coming anytime soon.
I mean, heck, they have a giant picture of Dale Sr. in that Bass Pro, so yeah, worth the shop if you're looking for warm weather gear, we'll say.
We almost have to go just
Or
to take
cold
a
weather
picture
gear.
of the Dale Senior picture.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, I think let's let George pick first since he's a guest. So I say let's start actually at the bottom of my list here and just start with GTD. Obviously, this is a huge category and there are many different drivers and car combinations going on, but who do you think is gonna, if you just kind of have a shot in the dark, who do you think is going to pull out the win in GTD?
That's a good question. And with 24 entries, frankly, 12 of them have a legitimate shot at winning the race. One thing I didn't mention earlier is this is not fully confirmed, but the thought is Kevin Magnussen is going to have to pull out. I think he had to have hand surgery or something similar. Nothing major, but enough to keep him out of the race. He was going to team up with his dad and the 53 MDK Motorsports Porsche. That was kind of my pick until then. But I'm going full send on Magnus, baby. They got Flexbox back on the car, second year with the Aston Martin GT3. Usual squad with John Potter, Andy Lally, and Spencer Pimpelli. But they got Aston factory driver Nicky Tem in there as well. That is a well-run operation, really solid squad. I think they pulled off wins before, so I think they've got two at Daytona for the 24. I think three is the lucky number here, so my money's on the 44 Magnus Racing Aston Martin.
Is it my turn?
That is a good-looking car. I'm trying to think of who I would pick. I'm just gonna go with, because we talked about this recently, and I like the name of one of the guys in this car, plus Will Power's in it, the SunEnergy 1 Mercedes with Kenny Hubbell and Will Power, and then whoever Axel AXIL Jeffries is, that's probably one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
Yo, so at one point I tried to do some research on there's 11 active IndyCar drivers and 5 active lights drivers in this race. I attempted to go through all the Road to Indy alumni and gave up pretty quickly. But Axel Jeffries, I want to say he's Zimbabwean and raced,
Yeah.
I think, 4 total Indy lights races like a good number of years ago. Has done really
That's what
well
it
in
is.
GT cars overseas, but yeah, that was one name that came up like, oh man, he's on that list of guys that would qualify for the alumni status.
You're
All right.
right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, he's right. He did 4 total IndyCar races. He did
Wow.
2 in 2013 with Brian Herta. And then 2 in 2014, it looks like, with Ballardi.
Was it IndyCar or Indy Lights?
Indy Lights.
Interesting. You learn something new every day. I probably knew that at one point and forgot.
Zimbabwe deserves a win, so they should get it.
Fair. Fair. Feels
Also, it
like
says he
the.
holds the Nürburgring record in the GT3 class right now.
All right. Well, I'm going to give my prediction here, and I'm going to go with. This is personal bias, but the 12 car, the Vassar Sullivan Lexus, which
Into your pick.
is, yes, mainly because I'm very excited to see Parker Thompson get an IMSA ride this year. I think he's just doing the endurance races this year. Nonetheless, super excited to see him at the track again this year. So that is, I mean, and Aaron Tielis and Kyle Kirkwood and Frankie Montecalvo are all great drivers, so that looks like a good car to me.
Got to
Yeah, I
go for
tend to agree
Allen
with
though.
you.
From
All right.
last time, Allen Brynjolfsson.
I
I
did
mean,
not
that's a
get
trendy
any.
pick. That's a trendy pick.
I did not get any messages from any Allen fans about mispronouncing his name, so I couldn't have been that wrong. All right, let's jump up to GTD Pro, which is 9 cars. Frenchie, you can pick first on this one.
All right. Then I'm going with, I don't know. To me, I think it's, this is really hard. I'm just going to go with the Pfaff Porsche because I think Lawrence Vantor needs like some redemption after that massive battle. Was that last year that we had that? Is that really just a year ago?
Yeah, didn't Pfaff win last year?
They won. They that did, but they have an, I believe they have an entirely different lineup this season.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So Vantor was up against them, I think, and was not. He didn't win, right? He was like up against the Pfaff car.
Yeah, I want to say it was KCMG that was running the Porsche last year, and it came down to the last like 15 minutes, proper wheel banging, pretty much the entire lap. Yeah, that was one heck of a battle, and I think you're right. I think he got the short end of the stick on that one.
All right, George, you're up.
Well, it's the car that moved categories. I'm all in on tacos here, guys. Turner, number 95, BMW.
Damn it.
Yep, that's my money.
All right, well, let's switch it up here last second. I am going to go with, I'm going to go with the Corvette, Antonio Garcia, Jordan Taylor, Tommy Milner. I'm a big fan of Corvettes, so that's pretty much the only reason I'm going with it since George took my pick. And yeah, we'll keep going up the list here.
All right, LMP3, my favorite category of all time. I will continue to advocate for a fully LMP3 series that I can just watch on a nonstop loop.
They didn't used to have that.
That shows how much I know.
You had to pay for the extra, the Peacock, if they broadcast it at all, to be fair.
Wow. Actually, yeah, I knew about that, actually. I did know about that, but I didn't watch any of it, if I'm being honest. And I probably won't pay that much attention to this class unless they're getting in the way or crashing, which might be interesting. But I think my pick for who's going to win this one, if I have to... No, I just went first, didn't I? Host, why don't you pick first this time? Cause...
Thank you. That's so kind of you. I am going to go with, I almost want to go with the cars that has a TBA entry list just to, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go with the, 87 Fast MD Racing. No announced lineup as of today, Monday, January 16th. 87's a pretty good number. So rock and roll.
All right. Solid choice. I think there's an idea of who's going to be in that car, but it is a solid lineup, to be fair. One thing is there are a few entries in here that aren't full term in terms of the season. And I'm going with one of those. I'm going with the 85 JDC Miller Motorsports. They're moving up to...
Damn it.
Well, moving up. They have a Porsche GTP or LMDH on order. It's not ready yet, so they're just kind of keeping the crew guys sharp, the pit crew sharp, and maybe testing out a few guys. Got Till Bechtelsheimer, who he's been around for a long time. I'm pretty sure he just bought Lola in terms of the rights to it. Luca Mars, good under 30 talent. Mason Felipe has been around in the Michelin Pilot Challenge for a long time. Then I'm going to butcher this Dutch name, but Timjen Vanderhelm. I think he ran some F3, maybe some F2. Quick Kid, it's one of those guys that's checkers or wreckers, and I think that is the story of that car. Because they don't care about full season points. They're going to go for the win and not give a darn about the way, or give a darn about it the rest of the way.
Frenchie?
I have to go with Andretti on this one then, 36, because When I see Rasmus Lind's name on anything, I just support whatever he's doing. So that's going to be the reason why I picked that car.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
All right, so we're going to hop into LMP2. There are 10 cars in the class. I think it is George's turn to go first this round.
I'm going to steal the extremely easy pick here. The number 8 Tower Motorsports.
You jerk.
John Ferrano, who's done quite a bit of P2 racing in the past few years. Kiffin Simpson, who's done some IMSA stuff in the past few years as well, in addition to his road to Indy. Then you got the Bus Bros in there with Scotty Mack and Joe New. Great crew running that operation and a great lineup. If they keep it on the track, I think that is the one to watch.
Brent, you go ahead.
I think I'm going to go with the Rick Ware racing car. That lineup's pretty stacked with Pietro Fittipaldi, Devlin DeFrancesco, and then Austin Cindric. I don't know. Rick Ware in LMP2. They haven't had all that much success that I remember yet, but you know, maybe this is their day.
They have, but with the Asian Le Mans series.
Yeah.
They haven't had luck at Daytona, but you know, I think the rumor that was going around is they're linked up with an established P2 team to at least help out. So they should have plenty of setup data. Lux, the fourth driver in that car, Eric Lux, is an established talent, and P2 and I think P3 as well. So that's going to be fun to watch. I think that's probably one of those not giving a good gosh darn kind of deals where they're just going for the win, and that's all they're going for.
All right, so my pick, I am going with the number 20 High Class Racing, featuring our favorite, Ed Jones, and my favorite name on the list, Anders Fjordback, which is such a cool name, and I definitely pronounced that correctly, so screw all y'all who think I said it wrong. And, all right, we're going to jump up to GTP and do an actual prediction. I'm going first this round. I am going to take... I'm going to take the 6 Porsche Penske Motorsport with Nick Tandy, Matthew Jaminet, and Dane Cameron. George, you can go next, and then French, you go last.
Well, that was my pick, so.
Thank you.
Frankly, geez. Well, it came out to the 60 was going to be my pick, other than the 6. But it came out, I want to say, in a Sports Car 365 today that Acura has yet to do a proper endurance test, alleged. But, yeah, with that and the
That's
reliability
concerning.
Problems, yeah. Well, BMW's had problems with reliability when they have attempted endurance tests. I'm going to stick with the theme of not giving a good gosh darn and going with the 0-2 Cadillac for Ganassi. That is the WEC car. They're not running the full season in IMSA. They don't care about the points. Earl Bamber, heck of a talent. Alex Lynn, heck of a talent. And Westbrook, heck of a talent.
I'm just going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to say that the Wayne Taylor Racing Acura pulls through somehow. That number 10 car with Ricky Taylor, Philippe Albuquerque, Louis Delatraz, who just actually really impressed in his Formula E debut last weekend, and then Brendan Hartley.
Yeah, solid pick. Fair enough. That.
All right, so we've gotten those predictions done. One more prediction, and then we can kind of ramble on a little bit. The GTP season winner. Who's winning the season championship? If it's different than, and you could say the same car that you picked in the Rolex prediction. Frenchie, you can go first on this one.
I think in this case, I will probably go with the 01 Cadillac. Bourdais and Ranger Van de Zandt, like full season. I just think they're going to continue to be extremely fast. And when their reliability holds up, which hopefully it will, they are... I'm not going to say head and shoulders above the field, but they make a bunch of professional drivers. I don't know. They make them look a little bit like amateurs sometimes. They just are so fast.
George?
That's a good question. I'm leaning towards one of the Penske's, the Penske Porsches, or Porsche Penske, rather. I'm going to steal your pick from the Daytona win and go with the number 6. I think Gemini and Tandy are the full season lineup with Cameron for the Enduros. That's just a great squad, and they have the most testing out of any of the other manufacturers. So I think it's going to be a Penske, and I like that full season lineup a lot. So I'm going with the number 6.
Awesome. All right. I am going to take the other Penske. I've already moved on from the entry list. And I don't remember who's in it. So the other Penske is winning. So, all right, let's move on here.
Someone with Felipe Nasser in it.
Yeah, that
it's
one.
It's Matty Campbell, Nasser, and Christensen. I think Christensen's in for the Enduros, and it's Campbell and Nasser for the full season.
Yep, that one. So I am trying to pull up the season schedule, and it's disappearing on me here.
I'll pull it up then.
Yeah, this... IMSA website is all buggy right now, and I can't get it to load. But I wanted to just kind of look at the other races, because there's a lot of IMSA races on the calendar, more than you'd expect, that are actually really cool. You know, Lime Rock is a really cool venue. I've never been, but I've heard great things about it. Obviously, Petit Le Mans at the end of the year, Watkins Glen. Is Watkins Glen still on the schedule? Why am I...
Yes, it is.
Yes. Six hours of the Glen.
6 hours, yes, thank you. I literally can't get it to load right now. So, and you know, they're at Road America, obviously no Mid-Ohio anymore, which I don't think is really that big of a deal in the end. So, George, if you had to pick one race that is not
Sebring.
you didn't even let me finish the damn question. Now I'm going to have to change the question, because my question, I mean, damn, all right. Sebring's your answer. I was saying this to Frenchie when we were recording the WEC interview earlier today, that I think I'm going to do Sebring rather than do Texas for IndyCar and Barber for IndyCar. Like, I'm just going to do it. So I think anyway. So my question for those wondering, George's answer is Sebring. The question, I feel like this is like some like reverse Jeopardy or something. The question is, outside of the Rolex and outside of Petit Le Mans, which are, you know, the beginning end of the year crown jewels, what are you most excited for? George says Sebring. Frenchie, what would your answer be? We'll come back to you, George. You get skipped until the end of this question because you preempted fair. The actual question.
That's fair.
You know, I would like to say VIR because it's in my kind of adopted home state, and I really like that track, but just the fact that it's only the GTD cars means that I don't think I can pick it as my favorite, so I'm going to have to go with the Laguna Seca round in May.
Okay, fair. I actually, George, I don't know if you know, but, and Wikipedia could theoretically be wrong, as it often is, the race here in Indy in September, on Wikipedia, it lists as 2 hours and 40 minutes. That hasn't been confirmed, has it?
I think that is correct. The idea is they're going to move that to an endurance race in the future, but for this season, it's a quote normal round. That's the normal non-enduro race length, but you also have sprint races, which are, I think, 100 minutes, like Long Beach. That's the quote-unquote normal length.
Yeah, Long Beach is an hour and 40 minutes, and I can promise you I will not be in Long Beach this year. I will probably never step foot in that track again after last year. Anyway, we can ramble on about that and rant about that another time. I was going to pick IMS. 2 hours and 40 minutes kind of is a little bit of a bummer, but I get it on somewhat short notice. I'm going to say Road America. And I just love Road America so much. My second pick would be Lime Rock, only because I have family that is right around the corner from the track, at least in the summers soon. So I would have a free place to stay and get to see family for that weekend. So hopefully I can do that this year. Actually, that's Iowa weekend. Maybe I'll do Lime Rock instead of sweating my you-know-whats off in Iowa this year.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, you've got free lodging at Sebring if you don't mind a tent. I'll bring a spare for you.
You know, that could be fun because then we could do some interviews, and you know what, we'll figure it out. I'm open to it though, only because it's Sebring and I know there's not much else around there.
Yeah, just for the listeners, I'm highly biased on that. That's my hometown track.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, they run a WEC round down there. So for 4 days of camping, a Crown Jewel endurance race with the 12 hours, a WEC round, and two to three other like undercard series. It runs you like $100 for 4 days, and free camping. So, frankly, I think it's the best deal in motorsports. And again, I'm biased, but that's yeah. I think a sleeper pick for this season, honestly, is the the NASCAR Chicago Street Race, because the Michelin Pilot Challenge, the second tier of IMSA, GT4s and TCR are supporting that race. So the WeatherTech Series won't be there, but a fantastic championship in its own right will be. And I frankly think that's going to be a better show than the NASCAR race up in Chicago, but that's a sleeper pick more than anything else. Considering it's the first year, it's a TBD for sure.
The hot dog eating contest will be a better event than than the NASCAR race in Chicago. But that is just my opinion. Anyway, Frenchie, I'll let you hop in here with whatever question you would like to bring up next.
Okay, so I don't know if George feels the same way, but I'm kind of bummed that, like, the Detroit round is not here. I always liked that round, and I guess I understand why they're not also going to take up more of the downtown area with another race, take even longer. But do you think we will eventually see IMSA cars on that layout, like as the kind of accompaniment to the IndyCar round?
You know, I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other, to be honest with you. It was a very good pairing, kind of like Long Beach is, and I'm an IndyCar guy too. I'll be honest, the IMSA race is usually much better at Long Beach than the IndyCar race most years. Yeah. Not every year, mind you, but most years.
Agreed.
Detroit was kind of the converse. The IMSA race was never bad, but the IndyCar race usually, especially with a duel, one race was like, well, that's all right. One race was just like bonkers. and I feel like IMSA was always like a points race there. Granted, there was one year where like three guys, or the third place car ended up winning because the top two cars crashed in the last lap. So I like street races. I'm rambling at this point. 50-50. A solid 50-50. If GM wants to push, and Ford as well, because Ford is coming in or back in with a Mustang GT3 next season. If they want to push for the visibility, they will get that that slot and that weekend. If they don't see the ROI, they won't, but 50-50. One extremely random comment that isn't related to this at all is Ford CEO Jim Farley, who has a great record when it comes to vintage racing, typically with the Lola. He is running an IMSA Under Series this season with a Mustang GT4. I'm really curious to see how he does. That is the replacement for the Prototype Challenge separate championship. It's GT4s and LMP3s. I think he has a good shot, frankly, looking at the full season lineup, at least in the GT4 class. So that's totally random aside. I guess it's vaguely related to Detroit because that's where the guy, works. But
all right, I'm going to go back to my previous question, and I don't think you're going to know where this is going. At least I hope not. What race are you least looking forward to this year? And don't give me a cheesy answer of, well, I love all of them. Everybody has one IndyCar race or NASCAR race or F1 race or IMSA race that they're just like, meh.
Yeah, that's a solid answer. Or a solid question, rather. Oh, man, I'm going to stall for time on this one for a little bit.
Frenchie, if you have an answer, you can jump in.
I think this might be a hot take, but I have concerns about how the race is going to go at IMS, to be honest. I don't know how good the racing will turn out there. And I hope it's good, but let's just say I'm nervous. Not like I'm not looking forward to it, but that's the one when I look at this list that stands out and I'm a little bit concerned about it.
That's actually fair. Yeah,
I think that's a solid take. I'm going to go Lime Rock, and this is going to be highly controversial.
Okay.
Lime Rock, I feel like between Pilot Challenge and IMSA, one of the two races is guaranteed to be just fantastic. But the other turns into not always the greatest. This is a stretch, frankly, because it's kind of a favorite children thing. My answer would have been Mid-Ohio, to be honest with you, in past seasons. Lime Rock, it's a fun little bull ring. With this number of GTD and GTD Pro entries full season, it could be pretty spicy. But sometimes you have this like super high expectation for like the short track of sports car racing, and 50-50 it delivers, you know? Last year, the Pilot Challenge race was bonkers. Not necessarily in the greatest way because of the number of yellows, but and I feel like the IMSA race was good, but it wasn't great, you know? a stretch, and I'm sure I'm going to tick off some people with that answer, but yeah, I'm going with it.
So I guess I just want to get George maybe to see if he can explain this in a succinct way for our listeners, because I'm sure he knows in detail how this works. I mean, I've read it, but for me to be able to regurgitate it, I don't know if I'd be able to. Can we talk about the rule changes for the drive time that are coming in for this season? And just so people know, basically what's going on, if you know off the top of your head, which I feel like you do. You seem like that kind of a guy to me.
Mike, do you allow very minor cursing?
Yeah.
The hell of I know.
All right. I'm surprised that you don't have it memorized somehow. Okay.
Drive time is one of those weird things where it makes sense, but it also doesn't. Where, man, I always feel like I'm like, oh, you guys were idiots, but I also feel bad for the teams that miss their drive time by like 10 seconds in an endurance race and get DQ'd. It's like, well, this is stupid. Makes more sense for the sprint rounds, frankly, than the enduros, but yeah, I don't have a good answer on that.
Fair. It's something, Frenchy, that we can inquire about next weekend at the track.
Yeah. Anyway. It's like a complicated way. Like, it's written in just a way that I read it, and I've read it multiple times, but for some reason, it's just not, I don't know, my brain's not picking up the information that's written down.
Well, I think they're trying to DYA, you can unpack that initialism at your own risk, because they've kind of shot themselves in the foot with more rigid rules in the past, or not spelled out rules, where be it a rain delay, a red flag or something like that, and guys have gotten screwed where, oh, you're sitting in the car and it's a red flag, we're not going to count that. And you end up with, all right, we have four guys. One guy's already spent 6 hours in the car and we literally can't make drive time. So I think some of that confusion is they're trying to cover their tuchuses, when it comes to writing a hyper complicated rule.
All righty. Well, before we, first off, George, thank you for your time. Second,
yeah.
I found a, I don't know how legitimate this is, but I Googled Fantasy IMSA League earlier, and I found one that is IMSA, Asian Le Mans, WEC, and I think that's it. Anyway, well, my Google Home below me just decided to start talking, if anybody heard that. And I don't know how it works, but I will put the link in the episode description if anybody has any interest. I'm going to sign up and check it out later, but yeah, we'll see. We'll post the link on social media too. Anyway, that is it. This episode comes out a week from when we're recording it, so if things changed, you know, that's the way things work for us. If you're going to be in Daytona, me, Frenchy, Sarah Levinson, and probably many other people will be down there, so send us a message and we'll say hi. Obviously, we'll be there all race weekend until a couple hours after the race. And everybody, have a lovely rest of your day.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.